are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. All right. My favorite time. My favorite time, two of my favorite people. Here in studio, all together, it is time for another episode of Boomer and McQueen. All right. And anyway, are we all three on camera? You got all three?
Oh, yeah, we're all
right.
There.
All right.
He did good today.
Do what?
He did good today.
He's all dialed in. Well, he's like that every day, though, so... I got to brag on him once in a while, keep it all going, you know. So, but no, he does. I don't even know. I was on a Zoom call in here earlier, you know.
Right.
And the guy was saying something like, so you got somebody in there? I said, yes, because I don't know what these buttons do. I've got Boomer. He knows what the buttons do.
I got
do.
A Boomer.
I said,
have a Boomer?
I said, everybody needs a Boomer. I said, truth be told, he's the one that set up the Zoom call right before I got on.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
All right. Listen, you know the deal, y'all. I got questions, and you guys have amazing answers. Folks, for those of y'all who are listening, may not be as familiar. So Boomer and McQueen, we do this segment once a week. They have their own podcast, The Right Life, which comes out every Wednesday. You've got bunches of episodes out now. How many are you up to?
Like 76.
Oh, just kidding.
Not 70.
Feels like it.
All right, you're in the 20s. All right, awesome.
In the 20s.
That's cool. That's good. The Right Life podcast is really taking off. You guys want to dial into that one, just go to our any podcast format. And just like the Right Side Radio podcast, you can also find the Right Life podcast. And it's out there on all podcasting formats. All right, my friends, I got questions.
All righty.
Here's Hopefully we have one. Answers.
Oh, you have answers. I know y'all. So here's the deal. Boomer and I actually touched on this earlier. Even some of our listeners are already tuned into this one. So the U.S. Navy has a serious recruiting problem. They're not going to make mission again for the second year in a row. And the U.S. Navy thought, what can we do? Pray tell, what can we do? How do we save ourselves? How do we save the nation? I know. Here's a great idea. Somebody said to the Admiral, let's get a drag queen influencer to do a recruiting video for the Navy. That's going over like a turd in a punch bowl right now. Just saying.
Turd in a punch bowl.
I think that's pretty accurate. Accurate.
Woo! So your thoughts. I'll just turn it over to y'all. Your thoughts. Who goes first?
I think turd in a punch bowl, that summed it up.
All right, next question.
I mean, I think it's a big one. A big turd in a punch bowl.
Okay. All right, let's leave the turds alone now. I'm sorry I brought it up.
We brought our five-year-old. That's like the mindset we're in right now. Was this yesterday? I saw this like all over social media, and I was like, you have got to be kidding me. Yeah. I mean, that was just my initial shock. But then also, like, it's how sad, though, that they're really, like, recruitment's that bad and they can't get people to step up. And, like, and it just kind of even, it's the same thing that we're seeing in the workforce with people that don't want to work and don't want responsibility. But the fact that we don't have, like, that pride in country, and I actually regret saying that word there in this, what we're talking about. But, you know, like, we're... It's so sad that we have to like stoop to that, or we have to get creative that way because there's not people willing to step up. Go ahead. I know you're ready to say something.
I'm over here going, come on. But why in the world do you want to recruit that?
No, you don't. But
right
I'm
now.
Saying
I mean,
it's...
there's no, there, we should not be recruiting that. We should be recruiting the strong, the brave.
Yeah. And, oh, I don't not disagree with you, but I just say it's
the
so sad.
From strong and brave in my eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I question if does anyone, all right, let me find, let's say Rob O'Neill, who shot Osama bin Laden, SEAL Team 6 guy, Navy, and the guy who calls himself Harpy Daniels at night. Which one do we really believe is best geared to defend the nation?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, exactly. In my eyes, we discussed it earlier, is... for our nation, I want our military to look strong and not look weak. And that, in my eyes, makes us look weak.
Yeah, so, it's like a joke. I mean, to other countries that see, you know, that see that that's what we're recruiting or how we're recruiting. I mean, that just takes, I mean, the U.S., the power, whatever, how people view us completely out the window.
Will that person be gone soon that made that decision to put that out there?
I don't know. I mean
did they not see Bud Light?
Now, wait. Now we know where the lady from Bud Light who lost her job for
where
the
building, she went.
She went to the Navy.
That's where she went.
Holy cow.
But it makes you go like to other, you know, former, you know, I mean, well, how does that make you feel just being a part of the service? Like when you see that.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. That is absolutely an example of nothing but pure woke culture infiltrating every. And I'd like to. I said earlier I was saying it kind of euphemistically to Boom, but I truthfully I would love to have been a fly on the wall when the pitch was made to make that happen. Mm-hmm. Mm. Hey, Admiral, listen. Here's what we're going to do. We're gonna exhibit strength. We're gonna recruit from a base that we really haven't had much of a draw to. We're gonna get Harpy Daniels to do a video.
Oh,
it'll be awesome. The Biden administration is making a joke out of our military.
Yeah.
But all right, do we burn through that one enough?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty fired up over here.
All right,
now,
well, that might even lead into the next question I got for you. So here's my thought. So I said something to somebody yesterday that I'm betting that in 10 years, we're going to see like a massive spike in litigation for things that we're seeing happening right now. Mm-hmm. Everything from, you know, COVID vaccines to transgender stuff on kids to, you know, whatever. If you were able to go 10 years in the future and look and see what cultural decisions are being made right now that are going to become a huge source of lawsuits with regret later, what would you imagine it would be?
Well, my first one would be we have the same one,
yes,
right?
Yes, probably.
On the count of three. One, two, three. COVID vaccine.
Okay.
They disagree.
You go first.
Wow.
Okay. I was going to say something else.
All right. He's giving you first.
I think we have the top two, though. I say COVID vaccine. Well, that's just the first thing that comes to mind to me instantly is that. I mean, and just today I saw an Olympic gold medalist, track runner.
Yeah,
that died,
32 years old.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Died. And, you know, of course.
They think it was that?
That's they're saying, you know, no causes yet, but that's the underlying question. But there's just been so much of that. So like I'm sure what you're going into next would be my next thing I would say. But this we're talking life and death.
Yeah.
You know, like there's so many people dropping dead unexpectedly and young people and young, healthy people that I just think so much started there. You know, so much of like the pushover started there and people, you know, giving into that. So I don't know, I think that's the one of the first things that comes to mind is people that are going to regret that. And hopefully it's not taking, you know, extreme health issues or death that makes, you know, really opens people's eyes to it. But I think, you know, 10 years down the road, we're going to see a lot of that. And then I'm sure what you're going into would be my next thing.
What was yours, Boone?
I was going to say there's going to be a lot of litigation on pushing the transgender what are they calling it when they're helping them transition?
The gender affirming care.
We'll give you treatments. We'll do all that. I think that's going to come back and be like, why did you do this to me?
Are you talking about minors? Oh yeah.
See? I think that's what I mean. I think a lot is going to come out of that, and more so maybe not just that, but more things that the government's trying to push on us.
Yeah.
Versus. Again, allowing to let us make our own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all nailed it. You picked the top two. I don't know which one's going to have more, but I think more people were affected by the COVID vaccine because how many times they were pushing the shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would bet that the one that winds up getting more litigation is going to wind up being that because it can be a mass litigation. It can be, you know, a mass tort lawsuit. But I guarantee you the other one to me right after that is the number of kids that are going to be suing saying, I can't believe y'all did this to me. I was only five. What were you thinking?
And I saw just on Instagram, I had it in my post the other day because this stuff just makes me so angry. But there was, you know, certain medical and doctors and fields and hospitals that were bragging on the fact that they can start these gender transitioning surgeries as young as 2 years old.
Oh, what?
And they were like, they were saying, they do it at three, they do it four, but not us. We do it at two. And
what are they thinking?
Oh my gosh, just makes me sick.
I mean, this is a biblical thing almost. I mean, this is like looking at, you know, Moloch, you know, and sacrificing your children, and just, you know, the prophets of Baal dancing around the Asherah pole. And
yeah.
So at those ages, it's not the kid thinking that.
No,
it's the parents.
It's completely the parent.
Oh, yeah. The kid doesn't even know how to talk fully yet.
Correct.
Are they potty trained yet and they're doing that?
I mean, this is just a little older than our 1.5-year-old who's 18 months tomorrow. Yep. That's the parent saying, I wanted a boy and you're a girl, so we're changing that.
Yeah. That's messed up. Yeah, I did see earlier on Twitter, and it kind of said something you said. It said toddlers. It didn't say an age.
Mm-hmm.
But it said that there's several hospitals that are advertising that they will do this for toddlers. And there are parents. There's one. I think I've got this. It may be in my story today. Actually, it is. I think it is in one of my story, my triple dipper today, is that there's one parent who was saying something like, well, we could tell by the kind of foods that our child wanted to eat that he actually was a girl.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, what? You're an idiot.
Yes.
So, okay, if that's the case, then I guess I'm Mexican.
Yeah.
Because I'd like nachos or something, you know? I mean, what the heck?
That was funny.
I'm Italian. I like a pizza.
But apparently I'm not Afghan because the goat knuckle and rice got really old. So the dysentery set in. I lost 30 pounds. I was done.
Oh, man.
I don't want to be Afghan anymore. Ooh. I identify as an American. Give me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I guess perfect timing. Let's take a break. We'll do the break.
Good.
We'll come right back. The next part of the Boomer and McQueen is the one where I sit back somewhat in fear and trepidation as I wait to see what question they're going to ask me. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Boomer and McQueen. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. All right, laughing, having a good time here in the studio, Boomer and McQueen. By the way, stay tuned, top of the hour. We'll switch gears and go into some stuff you might want to know is happening down yonder in Montgomery. And my buddy Jeff Poor from 1819 News will be coming on the show to talk through some things. In the meantime, this is that part of Boomer and McQueen where I look at y'all with fear and trepidation, wondering what question are you going to ask me? Evil chuckle from Boomer. All right, who's going to be the...
He plans and plots all week long.
All week. I
got
one.
Okay, what you got?
Good.
Yeah, I'll go first. You got to go first last week, so I'm going to jump in on this.
All right.
So going off this similar question of the 10-year thing, but I want to revamp the ending of the question.
Okay.
So in 10 years, what's going to be... how is the workforce going to be with all we're talking about right now is everybody's okay. You can, here's your participation award and nobody wants to work.
Oh, wow.
Right now. So like, what do we have to do and what is the workforce going to be like?
Or what does rock bottom look like? Turn the corner?
Yeah.
Because there's companies out there right now that don't even want to hire anybody that's under the age of like 25.
True. And there's also, by the way, there's a real crisis in the commercial property sector. Office buildings are sitting empty because everybody went remote during COVID and they thought, you know what? Why are we paying rent? Mm-hmm. And everybody's staying at home. Plus, then you get into places like San Francisco. They're what they call a death spiral right now. Commercial property is empty in part because of everybody going home. Then the liberal mindset was keep them all at home. And then on top of that, you've got downtown San Francisco. The crime has risen through the roof. And so people don't want to come back downtown, mm-hmm. which means restaurants are now closing because no one's there to eat lunch and have their business meetings.
Gosh.
And it's and I just heard that right now San Francisco is in literally what they call a death spiral right now. Their revenues are down something like 12-15% for the city because everybody's bailing out.
Wow.
What's your thought? So what my thought is on the workforce, I got two thoughts. One is we got to watch out for AI, artificial intelligence. I think that's going to have an impact on our workforce.
Mm.
You know, I remember we're hearing, and I don't know if it's true, so if somebody's out there and wants to correct me, you're welcome to it. I remember hearing that, you know, when the invasion of Kuwait took place, you know, that led off Desert Storm, that the Kuwaitis, of course, it's a little bitty nation. They didn't have the capacity to beat the Iraqis, but that they were also a nation that had imported their labor. They had so much oil money that they didn't want to work anymore. And so, and I'd say that knowing that some probably did, but nonetheless, that it was very common for them to import labor. A lot of the population there were people who came there just to work. They were not true Kuwaitis. They had no rights in the community.
Wow.
The workforce had gone away. They had to import the workforce. We see a little bit of that with farm stuff here in the United States and you know, slaughterhouses and places like that. By and large, I think that we're running a dangerous track right now towards encouraging people, like you said, to not have a work ethic, mm-hmm. to think that it's okay. They're even discussing right now going to a four-day work week because, you know, it's hard to be 5 days. You obviously would never have made it on the Mayflower getting over here. nope. But yeah, I'm pretty sure the founding fathers believed in working 8 days a week, just so you know. But that being said, having that I've never done anything hard mentality means when hard times come, it gets difficult. What's the old saying? Hard times create tough people. Tough people create good times. Good times create soft people. Soft people create bad times.
Mm.
And so it's a cycle.
Yep.
So I think we're in a difficult spot right now where we got to watch out that we may be brewing the hard times if we're not already in them, which then can lead to, you know, maybe good people coming back,
mm-hmm.
Seeing the value. But right now, just looking at this, you know, transgender Navy recruiting video, I'm like, what the heck, man? I think part of that is because there's a much softer mentality.
Mm.
Did I answer your question?
Yeah.
All right.
There you go.
Do you have a question?
Mine's on a lighter, just confusion note.
No, a lighter just, state of confusion.
Yes,
all right.
That's right. Just with all the banking stuff, you know, I feel like it was a couple months ago. I don't even remember when all the...
This
the
is first, light?
I know. Well, yeah. Well, just explain it to the people like me. But I just like, it's like one bank after another where, you know, there's bailouts happening, yeah. And this bank's going to bail this one out because this one crashed and like... I don't know. Can you kind of explain a little bit what's going on? Should we be worried? Is there something that we need to do as just...
Is there something we need to do? I think, first of all, those with lots of assets need to diversify their portfolio and not be stuck in one bank. All right? So one of the things that happened with... what was the name of the bank out in California
totally
that failed
drawing,
first? I just draw a blank. Because First Republic just went down mm-hmm. like yesterday. But the first one that went down... Silicon Valley Bank.
Yes.
One of the things that happened with Silicon Valley was they locked people in. They said, if you're going to do business with us, we'll give you the best rates, but you have to bring all your business here. And so major companies were locking in with them. But then those major companies began to suffer during the COVID shutdowns, and Silicon Valley was stuck with a whole bunch of people who didn't diversify and protect their assets. And then Silicon Valley began to go down, and those people all began to lose. Then you also have, by the way, the notion that that debt is free. So for a long time the Fed kept the rate so low. Now, by the way, I'm getting tired of the Fed raising the rate.
They said they just raised them for like the 10th time.
Yes.
Like today or
another,
yesterday,
another quarter percent,
10th time. Mm-hmm.
Quarter percent again.
Man.
Yesterday. And you know what it's doing to the housing market? Housing market and housing starts are down, and my law firm sees a lot of real estate work, but we're not seeing a lot right now.
Yeah.
Right.
But the banks, one of the things that's happening with the banks is they spent so much time doing what I would call high risk, low cost debt that now they're having to service it in the wake of a pandemic that shut down the workforce and shut down the productivity and the supply chain. And they can only do that so long.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to find that stable middle ground where you got good common sense lending. Regulatory burdens are low, but yet rates are moderate. And then you've also got to make sure that you don't get stuck in one of those negative spins where everybody went into one bank, didn't diversify their portfolio, and that one bank made bad decisions. And also, by the way, woke policies didn't help that bank at all either.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Nope.
So did we just run through it?
Just ran through it.
We didn't
it.
Even get stupidest story of the week.
Nah, we didn't. All right. We haven't been able to.
Man, I've got some stored up,
we have somebody
too.
That talks a lot.
I have to use my words, okay?
Use your words. All right, Boomer McQueen, love y'all. All right, folks, stay tuned. Jeff Poore is going to be on with us here momentarily. Going to switch gears, talk about some things happening down yonder in Montgomery on Goat Hill. You're going to want to know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. right side ruffian